This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, there's some good news for Hertfordshire's ancient woodland, the species that rely on it and the people that enjoy it. And it all happened without anyone setting foot in a woodland. That's because this good news is due to the painstaking work done over the last 5 years updating Hertfordshire's ancient woodland inventory, during which it was found that our county has a whopping 50% more ancient woodland than we thought. Now, the process of updating all of England's ancient woodland inventory is happening in every county, so that eventually we'll have an accurate map of where all of our ancient woods are found. I spoke to Niamh O'Reilly, data officer at Hertfordshire's Environmental Records Centre, based at the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. And I started, well, with what I thought was a very simple question. I started by asking her to explain to us exactly what ancient woodland is.
Yeah, of course. So ancient woodland is officially defined as in any area that has been continuously wooded since at least 1600 AD, so roughly the last 400 years. Continuously wooded doesn't necessarily mean there has been constantly trees there. There could have been open spaces, glades, streams. They're all very important to the overall woodland. So anything that has been there for over 400 years and has a largely woodland component can be defined as ancient woodland. For the purposes of the ancient woodland inventory, there are four types of woodland. These can be ancient woodland or ancient wood pasture and parkland. Ancient woodland, we have semi-natural woodland, which is predominantly native trees and shrubs that have not been planted on or predominantly not been planted on. There may be a small proportion, roughly 10% of planted trees, but the large majority is there natively. There is also ancient replanted woodland, which are areas where the native tree cover has been felled or naturally gone and has been replaced by planted trees, often conifers or non-native species. These sites are included under ancient woodland, as even though the trees have been replaced, other features of the woodland, such as the ground flora, the streams, the rides, the glades, will still be there. And this habitat is really important, as it's a really key one for habitat restoration and for management. We then also have the wood pastures. These are areas of land that have been historically managed through grazing. The tree cover can be inconsistent with those. Generally, we'd say around 30%, but that very much does vary. To be defined as an ancient wood pasture, there has to be evidence of continued wood decay. So we have consistent dead trees and debris. This can either be the ancient wood pasture parkland, or it can also be infilled ancient wood pasture, which are areas where there's historic evidence of there being a wood pasture, say on a 1600s map, it's clearly wood pasture, but today is an actual woodland. This could have happened through natural succession or by planting. It still is considered infilled ancient wood pasture.
Right. Okay. Crikey. That was quite a detailed response there, Niamh.
There's quite a lot.
Yes, that's right. Well, being a data person like you are, you obviously have very good definitions for these things. So you really do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we did have to be very specific as well with the actual mapping of what could be included, what couldn't be included.
Yes. So. And this sounds like it's involved a lot of looking at old maps.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I'd say the most time consuming proportion.
Yeah.
So we started with cross-referencing modern aerial photography that we have. So that was from around 2010 to 2014. And we cross-referenced that with a 19th century map, which is basically the most consistent mapping we have for the country from around that time. So everything that was on both of those went into a data set that we called long-established woodland. So we didn't know at that point whether it was ancient, but it had been there at least for about 200 years or so. Then that was combined with the original ancient woodland inventory, which was published in the 1980s, to see whether there was any mistakes, whether we could gather any more information on that one. Then we went into a next phase.
Right.
This is all over about 5 years or so.
Okay. Yes, but there seems to be a lot of work going on here.
Lots of work, yeah. So phase three was basically finding the evidence. So we had a local landscape historian called Anne Rowe, who basically went into all the archives and sourced any historic maps we could find. So our oldest consistent map for the county dated back to 1766. We are lucky in Hertfordshire that we have a lot of estates and hunting grounds, so they generally have quite good evidence for them and lots of maps. So she also managed to find those. And then my final phase, which took about a year and a half,
yes,
was then going through all this evidence and seeing, actually, can this ancient woodland, I had about 5,000 or 6,000 to go through, can it be included on our ancient woodland inventory? And finally, I finished up my work May last year, and then it got published in January this year, eventually, with about, I think we have 3,000, roughly, polygons that have gone on. So
okay, so this is complex work that's been happening over a long period.
Yes.
So the result was that you found that we had about 50% more ancient woodland than we'd thought. That sounds like good news. Is that good news?
It's great news. The key is that we didn't necessarily not know it was there before, but it wasn't officially documented. So obviously, if people live by these ancient woodlands, they know that it's going to be there. But we had no official documentation of it, and therefore no protection for it. So basically, when the first AWI was published, Ancient Woodland Inventory was published in the mid-1980s, I think it was, due to the lack of technology and just sheer capacity, the size of the woodlands that were mapped were limited to 2 hectares. This has now been changed due to the fact that we have generally good computers that we can view things on and zoom in. This has been changed to 0.25 hectare as the very smallest wood that will be recorded. This has really meant that we have massively increased the number of woodlands we have, because we have found that across Hertfordshire, we have very many small woodlands. This wasn't something that we necessarily didn't know before. We know that they're there. We didn't know necessarily whether they were ancient, so finding the evidence for it was really important. But initially we thought that maybe we had these small woodlands because in the past they were larger, and due to management and felling, they had shrunk. It turns out that generally that's not the case. We do have a kind of a trend towards smaller woodlands that have been here for hundreds and hundreds of years. We are assuming that is because local farmers had their own kind of timber supplies and had their woodlands, but that's just something that we don't know yet whether it's specific to Hertfordshire as a whole, but it's something interesting that has come out of it. We do also have the larger woodlands that people tend to know about, but the small woodlands have been, really surprising and a nice find, because even though they're small, they're extremely significant. We have, probably 1,000 or so really small woodlands. These make up a larger area of the county. We have 6% of the county is ancient woodland now.
Is that unusual?
We are not sure yet. We are waiting for the overall country to be published. Unfortunately, due to the nature of the project and how time-consuming it's been, every county in the country is going at very different rates. Right. So we are finished. Some counties haven't started yet. So we're hoping that by kind of the end of next year, we'll get a greater understanding of what's going on around the country. We do know that Hertfordshire is a well-wooded area. You can see that driving around. And then now that we know that so much of that woodland is actually ancient, we can actually do something about it. We can help protect it now. So
okay. And is ancient woodland protected? Is it protected from things like building?
Yes. Luckily, ancient woodland is considered an irreplaceable habitat. It has one of the highest legislations and protections around it. It basically means that unless there are extreme exceptional circumstances, ancient woodland should not be felled. It should not be built upon. It is there to stay. Basically.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And why is it particularly important? What does it have over, I suppose, non-ancient woodland?
Non-ancient woodland, yeah. So because it has been there for as I say, at least 400 years, it has developed to create such a wide range of microhabitats within the woodlands. So as I mentioned, you have ponds, streams, open areas, closed areas. All this results in a really complex web of species interactions that you just don't get when you don't have that long, long history of a habitat being in place. When you think about woodlands, you tend to think trees. That's all that's there. But ancient woodlands generally have kind of four factors to them. So you have the mature canopy, so you have the trees. You have kind of a shrubby, scrubby mid-layer. And then we have young trees, so saplings, and then all the ground flora underneath. So that's often associated with bluebells and things for ancient woodland. This combination with then the closed areas, more open, more shady areas, means that there are so many habitats in a very small area, which obviously means that so many different types of species can thrive. But we don't just have the ecological value with ancient woodland, we have the historical and cultural value. So lots of ancient woodlands will have archaeological features in them and things that people might not notice, but you'll have saw pits and things from timber production, ancient timber production. And then obviously, separate to that, you have the well-being. So generally, they're lovely places to go for walks and get into nature and seeing those gorgeous bluebell carpets that we are very lucky to have here in Hertfordshire.
Yes.
It's just, it is an irreplaceable habitat. You can't get that from a few trees planted somewhere.
Well, there is sometimes a discussion, isn't there, when it comes to big planning things. Well, OK, we might be chopping down this ancient woodland, but look, we're planting 20,000 trees here instead. That's not a replacement, is it?
Unfortunately not, no. Because, yes, planting trees is wonderful, but what would be more helpful is to restore the habitats we already have. So many of our ancient woodlands are declining in quality because they're being undermanaged. So in history, ancient woodlands were managed by things like timber production, and this leads to the open spaces. If you don't have that, then ancient woodlands can very quickly become overshaded, where there's too much canopy and no light getting to the forest floor, and therefore we lose the biodiversity potential.
So you mentioned bluebells, mm-hmm. and they're obviously something that does need a bit of light on the forest floor.
Yeah.
Are there any other species in Hertfordshire that particularly rely on ancient woodlands?
Absolutely. So obviously the obvious one is bluebells. That's what people associate. But with flowers, we also have lovely lily of the valley, which is really characteristic.
Oh, is that native?
Yes.
So we see it in our gardens, but it actually is in native woodland.
Yeah,
wow.
It can be hard to spot because it is quite tiny, but really is pretty. We also have carpets of wood anemones as well. So that's kind of the most characteristic flora that you could see in ancient woodland. But things that people don't think about are bird species rely on it. So lesser spotted woodpecker, our least common woodpecker, really rely on the deadwood that I was talking about and mature woodlands. So they are very rare in Hertfordshire, a species of conservation concern in Hertfordshire. But our ancient woodlands provide excellent habitat for them. There's also other things that you associate with woodlands. So we get our beetles that love the deadwood. We have all our fungi that everyone associates with woodland, being good, dark, damp places. But also we do have bat species that like the woodland as well. And again, one of our rarest bat species, the barber stell, really likes woodland. And luckily in Hertfordshire, we do have some barber stells. They're not very common across the country, generally south central England. So our ancient woodland provides excellent habitat for those as well. So we do really have many really characteristic, wonderful species who rely on this habitat.
Yeah, indeed. Well, from what you're saying here, it sounds like you've done a huge project, a very complex project, one in which data has been absolutely key. And the result of that is that we are now able to protect so much more woodland in Hertfordshire and all those rare species that you've been talking about. So I think this is a real demonstration of how often unseen work by people like you actually can be key to nature conservation. So, Niamh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us about that today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah.
My thanks to Niamh O'Reilly, Data Officer at Hertfordshire's Environmental Records Centre, based at the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. Now, Niamh also told me that the newly updated Hertfordshire Ancient Woodland Inventory has already helped protect newly classified pockets of ancient woodland and will be fed into Hertfordshire's local nature recovery strategy so that we can try and ensure that our ancient woodlands are kept in a good state so that they can support all of those species that Niamh told us about, and provide wonderful places for us to walk, to cool off and to enjoy in years to come. And you too can look at and use the Hertfordshire Ancient Woodland Inventory. It's an open source data. I'll put a link to it into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And I'd recommend taking a look, actually. It's amazing how Niamh and her colleagues have been able to identify even narrow strips and tiny patches of ancient woodland, the kind of spaces that are so easily ignored, but hopefully now will have the recognition and protection they deserve. If you'd like to hear more about the Hertfordshire Local Nature Recovery Strategy, or how it's a network of volunteers who provide the data needed to monitor crucial moth populations, again, head to the podcast page of mix926.com, where you'll find podcasts of past episodes of Environment Matters. And if you've enjoyed this show, then don't forget to share with friends and to subscribe with your favourite podcast provider so that you don't miss another episode. Now, it's always good to hear from you, your comments on the show, your suggestions for people you'd like to hear from, or your ideas for topics for future shows. Drop me an email on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook. And I'll make sure that I pop those links too into the notes that go with the podcast of this show. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.